Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Zeke. It's about 2:05. And this is Movement Museum. You're listening to Movement Museum, where we talk about dance in Montreal on the radio, on the computer, on your mobile device, just through the airwaves. On the radio, it's CKUT 90.3 FM. I've been going to see too many Merce Cunningham shows and thinking too much about his the recent performances Dance Company did. On the computer, you can get us at movement-museum.blogspot.com. On iTunes, you stick in Montreal Danse, spelt the Francophone way with an S, and we are the number one result, which I quite chuffed about, I think, is the terminology. And everything else, put Movement Museum into a search engine and see what happens. It is the Fête Saint-Jean, so I am all by my lonesome here. But we have lots and lots and lots of stuff. Also, before I forget, this is a band called On, A-U-N. And their album is called Seven. That's playing in the background. But before we get anywhere, I need to read a poem, although, to be honest, I am quite calm. This is called The Gibbet Dance, and it's by Arthur Rimbaud, and I probably should go about some time looking up the original French version. But this is a translation, and I unfortunately don't know who did the translation. On the black and one-armed gibbet flaunt, the dancing paladins, the devil's paladins, the gaunt white skeletons of Saladins. Messiah Beelzebub tugs each one's tie and sets his grinning jumpin' jacks a-prancin' to Christmas carols, black against the sky, and kicks their poles to keep them dancing. The hurdle jumping jacks in lace gaunt arms, like organs black, with gaping ribs they groan, once clasped by damosels of tender charm, and knock in hideous love with bone against bone. Yo-ho, you paunchless jolly jiggers, caper and buck! Your boards are roomy, shake your pins, scuffle and foot it while the frenzied scraper Beelzebub saws his raucous violins. Hard heels you'll wear out no more cumbering sandals. Bare bones you've doffed your irksome shirts of flesh. You're seemingly now no flesh and so no sandals. Your skulls are clad in snow-white caps, white and fresh. On cracked heads, crows are plumes. On bony chins, quake rags of flesh still. Spinning paladins in somber clashes and macabre lights seem stiff and jostling, cardboard armored knights. Ho! Whistling winds have joined the bony band. The gibbet booms as organs boom and swell. From violet forest, wolves make answer, and the crimson skyline glows with reds of hell. Hi, shake those graveyard captains. Winds, for me, who play with broken fingers their tattoo and stealthy love songs on pale vertebrae. No convents here, my grisly charnel crew, but lo, amid the gruesome dance, a corse, a tall, mad skeleton, against the lurid sky, leaps up in fury like a rearing horse, feeling his neck clutched by the rope on high. He grips and breaks his thigh bone with a crack that bursts out like a sneering laugh, and then, as clowns with one spring reach their booth, bounds back and joins the dance of clacking bones again. On the black and one-armed gibbet flaunt, the dancing paladins, the devil's paladins, the gaunt white skeletons of Saladins. Maybe I'm not exactly the happiest camper that I'm all here by my lonesome. I don't know. I'll leave it up to everybody else to try and figure out the whole rationale and reason behind choosing such a macabre and, dark poem. Yeah, if anybody didn't know, a gibbet is a gallows type of structure from which the dead bodies of executed criminals are hung in public to display and deter other existing or potential criminals. To gibbet a criminal is to display the criminal on a gibbet. The practice is also called hanging in chains. And yeah, I think one potential reason I'm so dark and so on is because there's a humongous backlog. Initially the whole idea, I think, of what was supposed to happen today, because we were preempted last week, But the idea was to have an all-review show, and if necessary, maybe two all-review shows. Because I know personally, I've got stuff from the FTA, the Festival Transamérique. I've got stuff from The Fringe. They've got stuff from Tangente. And yeah, there is the sort of thing where... Who was that? There was somebody who actually came up to me and asked me, so where are your reviews? We need your reviews. Why haven't you done your reviews? And I had to tell him, look, we are a completely volunteer set of people who are doing this. We get preempted. We have people come in. The whole idea behind doing reviews is we fit them in, given that the show is... archived. You can hear all our shows going back 65 weeks. This is episode 66. And so the initial idea was to do an all-review show, but then given that I'm the only one here and the whole idea behind doing reviews here on Movement Museum is to have a multiplicity of voices, it's the sort of thing where... Yeah, we decided, it got decided that we should probably delay it just so that there is a little bit more. Yeah, because if I come out, I know I can come out rather hard, strong, and opinionated about what I think. And it's always much better if there is somebody else to counterbalance my views. But anyhow, in the future, we will be reviewing the 9th annual Dance Roads Tour, which had Virginie Brunel from Montreal, Jens Van Dale from Arnhem, Lars Dahl Peterson from Aarhus, Umbra Senatore from Torino, she was the cool one, and Kai Thomas from Cardiff. I saw it at Tangente at the end of May. Then at the FTA, there was nearly 92, and I either have to figure out, is it pronounced 92 because the 2 is in superscript, or is it nearly 90 squared by the Merce Cunningham Dance Company? Also, there's a review upcoming, On the Shock by O Vertigo. There's More, More, More. Future by Studios Cabaco. Tout se pète la gueule, chérie by the Groupe d'Art Cravel Art Group. And Moroku by Karas. And it's only 2:12 now. That whole idea was... I should be fleshing that out. It is the sort of thing where I expect it to take about, I don't know, 15 minutes to get to that point. But yes, we will be getting to reviews because they're the one of the things that sort of gets me going is realizing that this show, this type of show, is the only show of its kind in the entire world where we talk about dance on the radio as a talk show for an entire hour. And yeah, I've looked high and wide, far up and down, all over the place in any type of language, and yeah, haven't come across anything that approaches it. And so you have talk shows on books where they do stuff like this. You have talk shows on films where they do stuff like this, but nothing on dance. And so it's to try and further explain... What the hell is happening there? Let's hit the stop and then just... I can't see the screen. Let's bring that down and... Oh, I see what happened there. Not do that. Being all by your lonesome and having to tech as well, sometimes things go glitchy. But yes, so as to explain things better, I came up with a promo. If you give this a listen, it might explain things better about what and how the show is supposed to be. Do you wanna dance? Movement Museum, opinions and primary voices. In a world increasingly reduced to a who markets louder philosophy that is by definition going to steamroll contemporary dance right out of existence, Movement Museum is an hour-long talk show where all you will hear is honest and compelling opinions. Opinions on why dance matters.
Opinions on why dance.
Opinions on what dance matters.
Opinions on what dance.
We talk to dancers, choreographers, teachers, composers, academics, audience members, producers, presenters, and anyone else with an opinion on dance. What moves them? What do they like? And most importantly, why? Live Thursdays at 2 o'clock Eastern Time on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal, archived for all of eternity, Friday mornings at movement-museum.blogspot.com.
Hold my hand. Tell me
And I'm back. It's now 2:15. And yeah, I think that goes a long way to explaining the hows and the what's about the show. Movement Museum, which is on CKUT 90.3 FM on your radio dial, and movement-museum.blogspot.com on your computer. If you'd like to get in touch with us, you can do so by emailing us at movement@ckut.ca. Yeah, get into the one review that I can do because it's a book. It's called Writing on Dance. Let me grab my notes here. Writing About Dance. It's by Wendy Oliver, and it was published by Human Kinetics. You can get it by going to www.humankinetics.com, and it will set you back a whopping $17.95. One of the things that I noticed a while back is that, there's an intrinsic sort of nature. I tend to ascribe it to being Canadian, but it also could be just people who sort of think two steps in advance as opposed to one step in advance. I can remember having one co-host here on the show who had seen some performance and absolutely couldn't stand it. And one of the things that I am real keen on is if we go see a show, then it should get reviewed, good, bad, or indifferent. And you could just see her squirming, twisting like she was on a gibbet, and she just couldn't figure out anything to say, and just it was like all she really wanted to say was I was there, because that was, she didn't want to be impolite, she didn't want to be rude, she didn't want to offend anybody, she didn't want to piss anybody off, which is why to me it's the sort of thing where I realize it's my opinion, it's the sort of thing where you may have a completely and totally different opinion than myself, but it is mine, and trying to explain to you how whatever performance I saw made me feel, then at which point you can then judge that based on what knowledge you have about me. My opinion is not authoritative, nor is it definitive, nor is it the last word. But anyhow, given that I have a background in visual arts, a slight background in visual arts, there's this thing called the Feldman method on how to basically review a piece of art, an abstract piece of art. And in a nutshell, it's basically a four-step process where first you describe the piece of art, then you do an analysis of it, which is describing the relationship between the various things. Sort of it's a yellow blob and a blue blob, and then that would be the description part, and then where they cross over into green is the analysis, or explaining how the yellow and the blue make green and that there is a green blob. That is the analysis. Then there is the interpretation, which is what it all means. Basically, in something like this made-up piece of art with the yellow, blue, and green, you'd be talking about color wheels and color theory. And then there is the judgment. What do you think? Do you think it is good, bad, or indifferent? And it occurred to me that this could be a method of reviewing stuff that would work very good for dance, very well for dance. The one problem being is that the difference between visual art and dance is that with visual art, you can actually write down your thoughts, take notes in a fairly well-lit, brightly lit space, and actually be able to read your handwriting later without much difficulty. Seeing dance performances, you tend to write in the dark, and sometimes, yeah. Oh, they don't want to see my notes. But anyhow, I have now become a firm believer in taking massive amounts of notes. And it was then when this book came out, I think it came out in like April or something like that, I suddenly said, maybe this would be a very good idea so I can actually learn some theory about it. And they do actually then talk about the whole Feldman method and how it pertains to dance, which is the same exact thing. You basically describe, and then you analyze what you just described, and then you interpret what you just analyzed, and then you come up with a judgment. And then the also added advantage of this Feldman method of reviewing is that if you just cut out that last line, judgment, and you do description, analysis, and interpretation, and you don't say whether it's good, bad, or indifferent, you still have done a very, very good job of reviewing a piece of art, piece of dance, performance, what have you. And you've given, the whole idea is basically to give an idea to people of what they are likely to see, hear, or to point out various connections that they otherwise might miss out on. And so, yes, in writing about dance, and take a very, I think it's chapter 5, where Wendy Oliver takes a very, very long and detailed analysis, description, and interpretation of how to use the Feldman method so as to review and critique dance performances. And I quite like that, and it was extremely informative just because, obviously, there are differences between dance and visual arts. She also is a big fan of what's called free writing, where if you, now going back to the visual arts as well, if you're familiar with the Quebecois art movement called Les Automatistes, which happened in the late 40s, early 50s, and it's basically free writing, where you just write whatever the hell you want, which is effectively what I'm doing when I'm writing notes. But Wendy Oliver is a big fan of free writing first, then organizing those into thoughts, then which one, getting feedback on it and coming up with a third draft and so on. I'm not so certain I'm as a big fan on the free writing, but I can see its usefulness. The Feldman method is just a sort of foundation and structure for how to go about writing about dance. I do feel is extremely useful, although I'm in the process of trying to come up with my own theory of reviewing. But once I figure it out, then I'll mention something. Until I have it, then I'm not certain I'm prepared to go out in public on it. The problem, though, that with writing about dance is that, and yeah, it could be that I'm not a dancer. It definitely is designed for dancers and people who are taking dance classes as a way to sort of get them out, because it get them out of just this whole movement sort of thing. And given that I don't do an awful lot of movement myself, there's an awful lot of information in there that I just found not the most useful. It's also the sort of thing where there are a bunch of things where she ends up talking about, basically like Elements of Style by E.B. White, which is probably, to my mind and a lot of other people's minds, one of the best handbooks on just how to write well. And Wendy Oliver tries to then sort of pass on this information, this knowledge, where in actual fact I'd almost say it'd be better to go back and read Elements of Style by E.B. White so as to sort of get it, because, yeah, secondhand, it is never good to get any information secondhand. But yeah, the reason that it's written for dancers is it's the sort of thing like Gregory Crypto Selinger's piece that I will be playing probably one or two paragraphs coming up, but where that whole piece where he has in his class on creation, where then they have a personal journal so as to then to write down and sort of, quantify, or basically just mark down the whole process of creation. Being a better being a good writer definitely doesn't hurt. And so I can see how for dancers, or teachers of dance who want to take a sort of break out of from, just constant moving and doing the pliés and the, pirouettes and stuff like that. It would be extremely helpful just as sort of to set up a format, although, as I say, to use it entirely from point A to point B, or point A to point Z would be, not, to my mind, the best thing, because as far as the writing skills that Wendy Oliver goes about trying to impart, there are obviously, to my mind, better places to go about getting that. However, that all being said, I quite enjoyed it. It definitely, especially that chapter 5, which I think is worth the price of admission threefold, almost $60 worth, yes. And if you want to know more, or if you want to ask any questions about it, as I said, the email address here is movement@ckut.ca. The book is called Writing About Dance. It's by Wendy Oliver. It's published by Human Kinetics, and it is $17.95. My best bet would be to get it from the website, humankinetics.com, because, or amazon.com or amazon.ca. I imagine the online stores will have it. I don't think they're really going to be any, I don't think it's going to be in your Indigo or Chapters. But yes, speaking about writing about dance, why don't we try? Yeah, there nothing else is playing? Okay, why don't we try this as a way to explain sort of why writing about dance is a good thing.
I already have a piece ready to present for my artist project.
Les Fleurs de Mal
is quite possibly my most interesting creation so far.
An autobiographical
performance about an unrequited love
made up of semi-memorized live monologue fragments
which interact with my carefully defined feelings.
Maybe I only love it because it's so personal.
Because it's the most recent performance.
At the cabaret/open studio show, Michael Montanaro told me that
Isabelle encouraged me
to present me professionally, but it's too similar to my self-portrait.
And who was the artist that inspired this piece?
I craved for the authentic numb sense of longing, the sense of the practice, 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 the sense
But this piece definitely can't be considered
a true artwork unless your family or the shape of things.
But maybe the piece is actually more genuine by
I already let myself pretty much get away with that on the installation assignment.
I definitely should go through the work of artists, analyze their feelings that they do, and decide what I can borrow from the work to create something new.
Back. It's 2:28. You're listening to Movement Museum on CKUT 90.3 FM on your radio dial, movement-museum.blogspot.com on your computer, iTunes, just dump Montreal Dance or Movement Museum or anything you wish into the search box up in the upper right-hand corner, and I'm certain you can find us. Although if you stick in something like, I don't know, construction in Tokyo, you're not likely to find us, because we don't talk about construction in Tokyo. We talk about dance in Montreal. And yeah, there are other places, Twitter, Facebook, whatever, yada, 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 but those are secondary, tertiary, other things. Yeah, given that I'm discussing stuff, it's the beginning of the silly season. This is now, if memory serves, the fourth time I've done a solo show here, and yeah, I'm getting a little bit more comfortable with it. And it's the sort of thing where, yeah, initially trying to figure out how to talk for an entire hour about dance can be somewhat daunting, especially if there's nobody else to talk to about it. But and one of the things in going over the stuff was realizing that, yeah, we do archive absolutely everything, and this is not going to go down as one of my favorite episodes, but however, there are some of my favorite episodes, one of them being the previous one, which was 2 weeks ago, because we were preempted last week, which was the episode 65, which was the first annual Movement Museum Fringe Festival open house. Then I also was a big fan of episode 58, which was with Wen Wei Wang and Allison Denham. Episode 55, which had Vincent Warren and La Zampa in studio. Episode 48, which was our discussion, talk, interview with Dominique Porte. And yeah, if anybody out there can tell me if she's single and likes guys, I'd be very, very happy to find out. Or actually, if the answers to yes are both. Or both are yes. Episode 41 is Kitty Wilkes, who was clogging in studio. Episode 39 with Jose Navas and Mark Longto. And episode 34 with Gregory Crypto Selinger, whose piece we heard before. That was paragraph 3 of A Piece of My Heart. It was him along with Nicholas Forty Nguyen, Dai Young Tabu An, and Su Yun Chu. I apologize for chewing up your names and mispronouncing them all over the place. But that was a discussion about, yeah, the future of hip-hop, sort of post-hip-hop stuff, based on the fact that they had all been dancing with Rubber Band Dance. Then back last year on July 30th, we had a show that was all based around the death of Merce Cunningham, which I was a big fan of and extremely fond of. And I could recite a whole lot of stuff, but it's not going to get us anywhere. To get back to the idea of reviews, there definitely, to me, is a different take on reviews on this side of the border than there is on the other side of the border, down in the United States. Because, it's one of the thing days is at the Just for Laughs Festival, they have Tap Dogs, which is, 15-year-old touring show that's coming out of Australia, and I think, judging from the promo stuff that I've seen, it has played Montreal before, but I've never seen it. And so, sort of getting a little bit excited about seeing it, just because seeing something new that is always interesting. And, how does this turn? Oh, yeah, and it is the sort of thing where I've always been a big fan of, Gene Kelly. He was probably the first person or the first way that I got introduced to dance. And these days, the tap dancer, who is the best of the best, the sine non qua, whatever, if I'm going to butcher my Latin since I'm butchering everything else, the one to which all other tap dancers desire to be, got a review in, 2 days ago, on Tuesday's New York Times. And Savion Glover is his name. And if you think that the New York Times, I'm going to recite a couple of paragraphs, not the whole thing, because it is sort of long. But anyhow, once you get the idea that these are acceptable reviews, then you have nothing to fear about somebody saying, oh, I don't like your show because, it's way easier than this. Let's try the first paragraph here. The tap choreographer, dancer, Savion Glover, is a puzzle. He's the most famous tap dancer to have emerged in decades. He has been hailed as the greatest tap dancer who has ever lived by people well qualified to pass such judgment. He's the man who has done most to make tap a youthful genre again. But it's hard to think of a celebrated dancer performing today who is more tedious, more devoid of stage sense, more undancerly, and more lacking in musicianship. After a paragraph like that, how can anything I say make anybody sort of feel bad? To continue, Mr. Glover jumped right in with a display of technique that went beyond what most dancers can ever reach. Not only dancers, woodpeckers, electric drills, and dental equipment seem amateurish besides the elaborately decorated faster-than-fast trills of Mr. Glover's feet. At first, you don't even realize he's dancing because it looks as if he's scarcely moving. Where, you wonder, is the noise coming from? From speakers relaying the sound of an amplified floor drummed by feet moving like hummingbirds. This, however, is technique deranged. Mr. Glover's trademark is to display astonishingly rapid-fire meters that nonetheless lack rhythm or melody or any serious play of dynamic contrasts. Very occasionally, he slows down to tap out a phrase you can identify. One of them on Monday seemed to go do-wah-diddy-diddy-dum-dum-dum, almost like the 1960s pop song by Manfred Mann. This is when a real tap musician would make the relative simplicity of the movement into something special. But Mr. Glover's inflection stayed flat. He couldn't caress the phrase into life. And he couldn't dwell on it for long. He needs the stratosphere of extreme speed, but he won't make that stratosphere absorbing for an audience. On Monday, he seemed shut off, performing on some private trip that was not intended for us, though he did call on his mother in the audience. And it goes on. And I'm thinking, if Alistair McCauley, who is the main dance critic for the New York Times, can say things like that, why should anybody here worry what I think about their performance, or for that matter, anybody else's? But I think Yeah, so maybe potentially, maybe, I don't know, Savion Glover has thin skin, and maybe he's really, really annoyed and pissed off and never, ever wants to see anything with ascribed about him in the New York Times again. I don't know. But yeah, that's all my whole point, and it is where my whole concept of reviewing is to come out with a much more personal sense. It's, there's this sort of new journalism, which then is sort of based on gonzo journalism from, you know, Hunter S. Thompson, where he just took lots of drugs and then went on the campaign trail in 1972 with Richard Nixon. And there are a bunch of other people who were involved in it as well that seems to have morphed into something called New Games Journalism, which is based around and involving video games, and I'm trying to use that so as to stretch out to something having to do with dance, but I haven't quite got there yet. I got some notes, and yeah, once I get there I'll let you know. Yeah, it's 2:36 now. I'm definitely rambling and rambling on. I apologize, but it is, as I said, I much prefer with the reviews over the air to be able to riff off with somebody. And speaking of riffing off with somebody, we are going to get you a different voice in here. Co-host Allison Elizabeth Burns is off in Ottawa. She is fringing there right now. I'm going to put on, I think, an ad and give her a call. Where did I write down the Oh, there's the phone number written down. And, yeah, we will be back, and then we can find out what the heck she is up to. As I said, it's 2:37. My name is Zeke. This is Movement Museum on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. movement-museum.blogspot.com on your computer, and you can email us at movement@ckut.ca. And we're back. Allison, are you there?
I am.
Hot diggity dog. How are you doing?
I'm doing well.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry about the short notice, but thank you for being at the other end of the phone.
No problem.
So the first
question. Nice to connect with Montreal again. Mm-hmm. Hello, Montreal.
The first question I want to ask is, first of all, thank you very much for putting on The Duck Wife. I enjoyed it thoroughly, and one of the things that I especially enjoyed was not having to take notes.
You weren't reviewing it?
I realized that there was absolutely no way I could even come close to being objective and say anything. Yeah, if I was going to say anything nasty, you're going to knee me someplace that I would not want to be kneed in. And so, I quite enjoyed it, and there's no sense in sort of trying to pretend any objectivity. And, so I said, no, screw this, I'm not going to take notes, I'm just going to revel in the sensation of enjoying it.
Cool.
How was the other people's reactions to it?
We've had nothing but good reactions, actually. We've gotten some professional reviews. Pat Donnelly from the Gazette called it a revelation. Robin Fadden from The Hour said she wanted to have an affair with the show. Rover Arts gave it 4 stars. We're just loving it.
Cool. And yeah. You're in Ottawa now, but if I remember correctly, you're going to Toronto for performances next, right?
Yes. Okay. Our first show is on the 1st of June.
July.
March, April, May, June. July. Yes.
In a week, actually an exact week from now.
It's crazy. We haven't even finished our Ottawa run. We're already looking at the next city.
You are performing in Ottawa?
Yeah.
Okay.
We have a show tonight at 9 p.m.
Okay. So is this the opening night or?
No, we're halfway through. We've already had 3.
Okay. And how is it going there?
It's going really well. We've gotten a lot of good buzz from other artists and stuff like that. People are really enjoying the show. We're hoping to see the nominations for the best of here in Ottawa coming up soon. But there are rumors that we've been thrown in there. So we'll see what happens.
Okay. Are there any differences between the Ottawa crowds and the Montreal crowds?
Oh, tons. First of all, Ottawa does not party as hard as Montreal parties. There is no such thing as the 13th hour. But people here are just so sweet. There's a lot of really kind words and helping each other out. Again, just as in Montreal, lots of volunteering. You know, people volunteer as well as perform. And it's really wonderful.
Okay, because there it strikes me as the sort of thing where, since Ottawa is definitely sort of prides itself on being a bilingual town, and sort of being much more open to, just because it is sort of the capital of Canada, I get the impression that they're open to sort of First Nations cultures stuff and so on and so forth, where while it does happen here in Montreal, it isn't necessarily something that gets always embraced and so on. I was thinking that the audiences there might have,
I think there definitely have been individuals in both cities who have been really enthusiastic about that aspect of the production. The benefit of being here is that we have, like, the museums and stuff like that. We've been going to Museum of Civilization, chatting with people. There are also a couple kind of foundations for Aboriginal people, and you know, getting them on board, getting them enthused about the project is I guess, in that sense, it's easier to do here than in Montreal.
Okay.
Because they do have the associations set up. So, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And have you made any changes from the Montreal run to the Ottawa one? Is it sort of a work in progress, or you've got it carved in stone that goes wherever it is?
Constantly, constantly changing. Now that I'm running the show up in the booth, I get to adjust, you know, lights as I see fit and whatever. And there's always discussion afterwards, you know, when we're hanging out after the show, you pat ourselves on the back and then say, okay, now what needs to change? You know, what new spacing, little adjustments to the costumes, the different timing here, a whole different concept over here. So yeah, constantly evolving.
A bunch of slow, small tweaks as opposed to any major sort of, oh my God, let's change this dramatically?
There have been talks about dramatic changes, but I think we have to wait till this run is done.
Okay.
And we get to Toronto to do that. Uh-huh. Because we have to start fresh kind of thing in Toronto.
So when we speak to you next week, then we find out what they are. Can we get an advanced preview what you're thinking about potentially doing?
I think there's going to be a little bit more puppet play, a little bit more of the shadow puppets.
Okay.
Yeah. I can't tell you much more than that, but yeah.
Okay. Cool.
Enough intrigue.
yes, no, it definitely keeps us up, and it is the sort of thing where at some point we'll figure out how to logistically set this up so that you know in advance what time you're going to be called at, and we can then get a sort of regular running update of what and how you're doing stuff.
That sounds great.
Mm-hmm. I hope you're enjoying are you able to hang out with your folks as well?
Yes.
Okay, and wonderful. It is a little bit of relaxing as well as just work.
Yes.
Okay.
Just wish the weather was a little bit nicer.
I've heard good things for tomorrow.
Good.
Mm-hmm.
Did you guys feel that rumble yesterday?
Everybody was talking about it, but I was in a modern building that was able to withstand earthquakes. And so, no, I missed it entirely.
Well, it was very exciting.
You know, I heard all about the guy in Ottawa who ran out with the lawyer who ran out in his underwear.
Oh, I didn't hear that one.
They're apparently... what is it, right next to Parliament. There's some place where lawyers and judges hang out, and they have offices, and one lawyer was changing into the fancy clothes he needed to wear so as to go to court with the wig and the robes and everything like that just at 1:41 yesterday afternoon, and he decided, I don't want the building to fall on me, and I'm not worried about looking like a fool on the street. And so he ran out in his skivvies.
All right.
I was hoping that there'd be pictures all over the place, but apparently not.
No.
And so, yeah, good luck with the rest of the run in Ottawa.
Thank you very much.
Enjoy the whatever time off you have, and we will speak to you next week. Next week you'll be in Toronto?
Yes.
Okay, so then we'll speak to you in Toronto and figure out how it shifts from space, from place to place to place.
Excellent.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Movement Museum, opinions and primary voices. In a world increasingly reduced to a who markets louder philosophy that is by definition going to steamroll contemporary dance right out of existence, Movement Museum is an hour-long talk show where all you will hear is honest and compelling opinions. Opinions on why dance matters.
Opinions on why dance.
Opinions on what dance matters.
Opinions on what dance.
We talk to dancers, choreographers, teachers, composers, academics, audience members, producers, presenters, and anyone else with an opinion on dance. What moves them? What do they like? And most importantly, why? Live Thursdays at 2 o'clock Eastern Time on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal, archived for all of eternity, Friday mornings at movement-museum.blogspot.com.
I need to dance. I want to learn. I want to choreograph. But I need to dance. I'm learning to dance. I want to choreograph. But I need to dance. I'm learning to dance. I want to choreograph. But I need to dance. I'm learning to dance. I want to choreograph. But I need to dance. I'm learning to dance. I want to choreograph. But I need to dance. I'm learning to dance. I want to choreograph. But I need to dance. I'm learning to dance. I want to choreograph. But I need to dance. I'm learning to dance. I want to choreograph. But I need to dance. I'm learning to dance. I want to choreograph. But I need to dance. I'm learning to dance. I want to choreograph. But I need to dance. I'm learning to dance. I want to choreograph. But I need to dance. I'm learning to dance. I want to choreograph. But I need to dance. I'm learning to dance. I want to choreograph. But I need to dance. I'm learning to dance. I want to choreograph. But I need to dance. I'm learning to dance. I want to choreograph. But I need to dance. I'm learning to dance. I want to choreogra
contrast between the certain voice in my mind and every awkward way that I present myself in reality.
I can't develop
I need to seek out grants and invitations from festivals to develop it and travel with. Let's not get ahead of ourselves. I should choreograph it for another paragraph, then I could look at the piece more objectively. What else? Do I need more of a conclusion? Page 13, and it's supposed to be 8 to 10 pages. Some of the pages are mostly blank, so probably around 10 pages of actual text.
Anything else you'd like to say right now? Okay. Stop.
And I'm back. It's 2:49. If you haven't figured out, you're listening to Movement Museum, a sort of solo version. My name is Zeke, and we're talking about, actually talking around dance in Montreal. It's on CKUT, as I said, 90.3 FM. That was just the last paragraph of A Piece of My Heart, which was written by Greg Crypto Selinger. And then I did some slight tweaking to various things, and we came out with that. I'd be chuffed if somebody were to actually choreograph something to that. And then once again, I'd like to thank Alice and Elizabeth Burns for giving us the update on how the Duck Wife is doing in Ottawa. And we will be talking with her throughout the summer as she tours across the country. And speaking of Alice and Elizabeth Burns, suddenly realized since this is... Yeah, in my head, it was sort of like an overview show. It was the sort of thing where to discuss my favorite episodes, try and explain what my idea of the show is, try and explain how my reviewing, my concept of reviewing, but then realize that, it isn't me, it isn't just me, it's a whole lot of other people, and there have been 10 other co-hosts who, without whom I could not have done a gosh darn thing. I'd like to take this moment up. Oh, yeah, I can sound like I'm at the Oscars or something like that. And I'd like to thank them all. Karen Fennell, who was the full-time host before I ever got involved with the show. There are four times where we shared the microphone together. There was Selena Isles, who before I learned how to tech the board, came in and did some wonderful teching. And there was, Selena did 5 shows. There's John Krellen, who, when the call went out for new hosts for Movement Museum, stood up and decided that, yes, he was going to do it. And he also participated in one of my favorite interviews, the Andrea Boardman interview, which now seems like eons ago, decades ago, millennia ago. And there was, he did 6 shows. Then there was Fon Devuono Powell, who did 7, and he was the one who sort of brought in the whole perspective on, hip-hop and breakdancing, popping, locking, there's one with whacking, which has the double A's, and was quite impressed with that. Actually, very sad to see him sort of disappear off into the ether. He did 7 shows. We had Dorothy Sakaly, who did 8 shows, and she was probably... as of so far, actually, I shouldn't say that, but anyhow, I will say it. As of so far, the most accomplished co-host we've had, because she is not only a member of the Mary Chouinard Dance Company, but is the sort of face of the Mary Chouinard Dance Company for a lot of the promo stuff that they're doing for the upcoming season. We had Gwen Fisher, who did 13 shows, and she was quite helpful as well in just basically grounding me in that once I realized that, there's somebody else who doesn't have a background in dance, then at which point, I better get myself back grounded and start to understand stuff. There was Finn Upham, who did 14, and the thing that I miss with her is, she did Finn's Dance Diaries, where she'd go out. There must be, I don't know, 7,000, 70,000, 700,000 dance schools here in Montreal, and all of them offer free introductory class. And Finn would take her trusty recorder, go and take these introductory classes, and she did stuff from the Kali to Indian dance to swing dancing, and she would then come up with these 10-minute pieces that were absolutely wonderful as far as just giving you an idea and a perspective on not only how those dances were different, but what it felt like to take the classes. And then we had Rachel Nishwin, who I think is back in Ireland now, although maybe not, because my guess is she's caught that travel bug rather hard. And so is gallivanting around the world someplace. And she was the one who basically was a perfect, I was a perfect foil for her, as opposed to the other way around, because both were able to show off different opinions on the same pieces, and by having a diversity of opinions is something that as I've said lots and lots and lots of times, I'm a big fan of, because just because I got a microphone doesn't mean jack as far as making my opinion better or more informed or more anything than yours or anybody else's. The one thing I might have going for me is just a little bit of training that I have, so as to concentrate on what I'm seeing, so as to be able to then try and describe it back, because it is the sort of thing where most people, they go see a performance, and I'm guilty of this myself, where go see a performance and then if I don't take notes and I don't concentrate, then I just am sort of saying, it was good, or I didn't really like it, and then trying to explain, back up, and otherwise qualify those sensations, feelings, and emotions becomes somewhat difficult. And Finn did 14 shows, Rachel did 18 shows. And then we have the two current co-hosts, one who is relaxing up in the Laurentians, hopefully drinking a beer or a glass of wine or some bubbly, lounging around on some sort of deck or beach or something like that. Bettina Forge, who is now at 18, and if she makes it in for next week's show, she will then be solidly in second place with 19 shows under her belt. And Allison Elizabeth Burns, who is at 29, and I am just absolutely amazed that she has done so many and so long. And to both of them, because as I say at the end of each show that I do with them, they make me look so much better than I have any right to be. My name is Zeke. This is Movement Museum, and I'm rambling on and around dance in Montreal. As I said at the top of the show, in the future, you can look forward to reviews by myself of nearly 92 or 90 squared by the Merce Cunningham Dance Company. I think, what is it? I'm up to now about 2,000 words, and then I got to sort of, and I'm a third of the way there, and then got to cut it down. It's also going to be reviewing On the Shock by O Vertigo, More, More, More Future by Studios Cabaco, Tout se pète la gueule, chérie by Groupe d'Art Gravel Art Group, and Morocco by Carras, and the 9th annual tour, the Dance Roads Tour, that was at Tangent back in May. And yeah, I should also take it, what we have, I don't know, about 2.5 minutes left, 3 minutes left. To explain, yes, there is the website / blog, which is where all the audio gets archived. And each show comes out Friday morning. It's live on Thursday afternoons here on CKUT 90.3 FM, 91.7 on your cable dial. That's what I was missing today. I needed to... I forgot to do that. That's always in memory of Lynn Dobbin, who would always mention 91.7 cable dial. And, but then on the website, I realized that once a week wasn't doing an awful lot of stuff. And so then started adding in various snippets and links to various other articles that you can find on the internet that talk about dance in Montreal or Canadian dance or Quebec dance. And then I suddenly realized, we should start writing down some reviews. And so that's why I actually know how many words this review that I've, semi-written about the Merce Cunningham Dance Company's last performance here in town. Because, I'm writing it so as to go up on the website. And basically, it's going to be a hodgepodge of stuff all related, or it is a hodgepodge of stuff all related to and about dance in Montreal. But, I like that timing. Yes, as I said before, the music you're listening to in the background is by On, A-U-N, and the album is called Seven, and it looks vaguely death metal-ish. But that's neither here nor there. We have run out of time, run out of stage space. Prime time is in the house and ready to be starting positive vibes. And so I'd like to thank you all for listening to me. I hope you all are enjoying yourself on the Fête Saint-Jean. And we will be back next week with a slightly more tight and focused version of episode of Movement Museum. Thank you all again, and we'll speak to you next week.